How's that? I assume now I am on. I assume we're all familiar with the great commandment as recorded in Luke's gospel. Remember the story. When to test Jesus, a lawyer asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And as he often did, Jesus replied with a question, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to the lawyer, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." So that's it. It seems simple. But is it? In this Easter season, we reflect on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Surely our love for God is strengthened at this time as we reflect all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. When we see him on the cross, when we celebrate his resurrection, does this not strengthen our love for God? These verses from the scriptures are filled with meaning. John 3:16, which we know so much. But in the context of the death, resurrection of Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life." What a reason to love God. And when he was talking to his disciples about the commandment to love, Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." It's what Jesus did. He laid down his life. God with us, Emmanuel, came into our world, laid down his life for us. How can we not love God in response? For our love for God is a response to God's great love shown to us supremely in Jesus. People have all sorts of responses to God that are not love because they do not start with Jesus and all that he has done for us. That's why I think the whole Good Friday Easter is so important, that we keep reminding people of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. How could we not love God who has done so much for us when we truly understand the depth of God's love for us as we contemplate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? That's why it's important to regularly return to the cross and to the empty tomb to hear the stories of his appearances after his resurrection, for they imprint upon us the reality in our world of God's love for us through Jesus. So when we reflect on these things, loving God seems so simple. What other response can we make? But even then, our human thoughts and feelings can so easily get in the way of our love for God. Many other things come in and our love might weaken. Hallelujah. We need the help of God, the help of the Holy Spirit. And after, as we look forward to the time of Pentecost, after all that Jesus did, he did not leave us abandoned. Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Spirit to enable us, to help us to love God in response to what God has done for us. The Spirit helps to kindle the fire of our love for God as we hear and understand God's love for us. Those words, "I love you," are powerful in a human context. Through the Spirit, God whispers those words to us. We love because God first loved us.
Hallelujah.
Now, the first letter of John says, we know love by this, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. But then he continues, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Is that what it means to love our neighbours as ourselves? With Anzac Day coming this week, we remember those who laid down their lives for the brothers and sisters at home so that we could live a peaceful and free life. But that was an unusual situation. It was war, although sadly, war is far less unusual than it should be, or we hope it would be. But in our everyday lives, we're not called on to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We are called to serve them in love as our neighbours. Perhaps that's what it means to lay down our lives, to serve, to give ourselves in love for our neighbours. Now that's easy if our neighbours are friendly, or even if they have a need which we are able to meet. When it gets hard to love our neighbours is when our neighbours are not friendly. They may be outrightly hostile. They may even threaten our lives. How can we love someone who has broken into our home and threatened us? How do we love someone who attacks us and causes us harm? How do we love someone who has caused the death of someone else whom we love? These are situations, as we know, that people face every day, and maybe you've faced them yourselves. Our natural human response is to hate, perhaps even to seek revenge. We see this on the world stage. We see an automatic response of retaliation or talk of retaliation for an attack by an enemy. That is the natural human response. Let's get back at them. In the well-known passage from the book of Exodus, it says in a section dealing with laws that deal with violence, it says this, if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Amen. It's often quoted as the justification for retribution. The Bible says it, so let's do it. But as Mahatma Gandhi famously said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth leaves the whole world blind and toothless. Jesus gave the commandment to love your neighbour as yourself, which is also a quote from the Old Testament in Leviticus 19:18. It says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord, says the scriptures. So we have these conflicting instructions. Which did Jesus choose? Jesus even went further than Leviticus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And Jesus practiced what he preached on the cross. As he was being so cruelly crucified, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It was for me heartening to hear on the news that after the stabbing, was it last weekend, of the Assyrian Orthodox bishop in Sydney, a parishioner was there on the news, on her knees, praying, saying that she forgave the perpetrator, and she was praying for him. And then later on, when the bishop was released from hospital, he said the same thing. He forgave his attacker, and he was praying for him, following the words of Jesus. But it's not easy to love our neighbour in such circumstances. When we are deeply wounded, either physically or emotionally, It's not easy to overcome our natural inclination to hate, to seek revenge, to retaliate. It's not easy to love as Jesus' commanded. Again, God not only gives the command, but also gives us the helper to help us to obey. The Holy Spirit was so clear, Jesus said, I need to go so that God can send the helper, another helper who can be with you forever. Jesus in physical form was only present in one place. The Spirit is present for all of us, wherever we are, whatever's happening. So we're not left to our own devices. We're not left just with our human abilities to forgive or respond. We're not left with our human ability to love. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and to love our neighbours as ourselves, whatever the circumstances. The Spirit can give us the strength that we need when we cannot find it within ourselves. When we are tempted to hate, to seek revenge, we should turn to God and ask from God the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of love, so that we can truly love our neighbours as Jesus has taught us and shown us. How different the world would be if, with the help of the Holy Spirit, people lived up to the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. Amen.